Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Peterson, and this is the Interstate of Music podcast. My guest today is Micah Edwards. Let's call him Mr. Texas Soul, if you will. He is a songwriter, musician. He has some different genres that I would say are unique, niche, and something that everybody should give a listen to because, honestly, Micah, you're next level when it comes to your music as far as just that sound that... It's so unique, and I just want everybody to get to know you. So, Micah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
You bet, man. So I want to find out like where this all started. Were you kind of always thinking that you were going to be a musician, or was it just something that you loved music, you listened to music, and then all of a sudden it happened? Like, what did that journey feel like for you?
Yeah, so I did not ever think I was going to be a musician in this sense, I guess, a recording artist.
Right.
Music's always been something I've done on the side. So I was a baseball player all the way through college. I graduated college kind of early. So it was really, music was just kind of a side hustle.
Why did you graduate college early? Most people are trying to extend that that lack of timing and responsibility as long as they can.
I guess early is the wrong word. I think young. I graduated young at 19. I got my bachelor's at 19.
So, wow.
And that goes back to elementary school. I skipped grades in elementary school. So I was a 12-year-old freshman in high school, 15-year-old freshman in college. And then I got my master's degree at 22. So
Micah, hold on. We're not going any further because that's okay. That's mind blowing. This is not probably the way you thought this podcast was going to go.
No.
But I need a moment in time on this.
Yeah.
What? I mean, are you just crazy smart?
I think maybe I used to be. I don't know, Jeff.
Yes. This is fantastic. So you just like ended up being like top of your class. Teachers were kind of saying, hey, I don't know if you know this about Micah, but he's already knows the stuff that I'm trying to teach in the class. So let's move him along and let's start to get him to a place where he's feeling as though he's truly learning and testing his mind and kind of get him there. And it kept pushing along. How difficult was that for you to get pushed along at such a young age?
It wasn't difficult. It wasn't even socially difficult. I think the weirdest thing was maybe the 12-year-old freshman part in high school.
Yeah.
Because there were no other 12-year-olds.
Tough to get that homecoming date.
No, that was not a thing for me at all until my age group came into high school. But I mean, I was tall. I was good at sports. I was good at baseball. So socially, it kind of worked out. But I think it really shaped me looking back on it, because every room I entered, it was just super unconventional. I was always the youngest, and so every moment was kind of uncomfortable growing up.
Well, and obviously you're always trying to figure out like who your supports are, who your support groups are, you know, what your challenges are. You're always thinking about the challenge of your next step, because no matter what, when you're that young going into something, even if you're skilled to do it, if you're the youngest one in the room, that's a challenge to get some level of respect from whoever it is that's teaching you. Or in life, just period in life, respecting you, teaching you, taking you seriously, opening their minds to your opinions and your questions and thoughts. It's so impressive to get to know that part of you, because I'm sure it has formed you and kind of gotten you to where you are. When you were playing sports, were you playing at your own age level, or were you playing freshman baseball at 12 years old in high school?
So I didn't play JV until I was 13. So,
poor,
I mean, that's still
poor guy. Wow. That's awesome. You know, that's so cool. 'Cause I'm a sports guy. And I just, there's a different type of respect to just look at somebody that, you know, was able to put themselves out there and had the confidence to put themselves out there, because I think there's such a thing out there. Musicians overall have to have the confidence in what they do and what they're producing and have the guts to like put it out there for somebody to judge them, You know, no matter what, if you put something out there as a musician, you're going to get judged. And there's a confidence that's needed in that. And so much of your confidence building must have been at such a young age that you're like, you know what? I've been through it. So I'm sure as hell going to be okay. Whatever somebody says about this music.
No matter what anyone says. Yeah.
That's awesome. So when did music, when did you start? I mean, you had to have had a crazy educational schedule, life schedule, and learning just how to, the time management of it all. Where did doing anything for music actually start fitting in? Let alone, I mean, it's great to listen to music. That fits in all the time. But when you start to say, oh, I'm going to add in actually, you know, doing my own music, what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah. So music was always around. So I played baseball in college, played until I was 19. And then my passion for baseball kind of fizzled out in terms of I didn't want to go to the minors and go down that
road. Did you have that opportunity? Could you have?
I could have tried. I don't think I would have lasted a long time.
But I mean, you were at a level that you you're like, it's an option I could consider whether I make it or not. But it was something that in your head, you're like, do I want to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
So even though my passion for baseball fizzled out, music just kind of always stayed there. Madeline, my sister, Madeline Edwards, if you haven't heard of her, go look her up. She is crushing it right now. She's also a musician. We had a band in college and we always did side hustles together at steakhouses and weddings and private parties. So that's how each of us paid our way through college most of the time. And so that was always there. And my passion for music always stayed. And I think I couldn't help but write songs. And so years down the road, I always say this, but years down the road, I was at my 9-to-5 job in my office chair and I looked around and I just realized, like, I'm 23. Yeah, 23 years old. What am I doing? I have this passion. I have all these songs in my phone. They're just going to sit there unless I do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm the type of person that needs to create something of quality. And so if I'm going to be creating these songs, might as well put them out and might as well make it something I'm proud of. And so my wife was supportive in me quitting my job at that moment. It was
What was the job? Yeah. I mean, you got a master's degree. What was this office job you were doing?
Yeah. I wish it was something more impressive, like a neurosurgeon, but I'm just a digital marketing specialist.
But huge into what you're, you know, putting yourself into. It is such a necessary evil. As much as you've got, it can almost be too consuming right now for artists that are trying to get their music out there, and the consistency of the content that you've got to build to put it out there to get the followers to try to get recognized and all the rest of it. It can be exhausting and almost mind numbing, I'm sure. But for you to have the back knowledge going into this and knowing the technique and skill sets and the back end side of it as a musician, huge advantage.
Yeah. It's been a real blessing, because when I've been releasing music for almost 3 years now. And when I first started, I thought I had to outsource everything, design, website, photos, video. And I quickly realized, Mike, like, you could save a lot of time, vision, and money by just doing it yourself, because I have the tools already, which I'm really blessed for. So
that's unbelievable. So where do you think, so Mr. Texas Soul, where do you think that you got your inspiration? Where do you feel like you got your inspiration? And then my follow up on that, as soon as you kind of let me know that side of it, when you say you like had to write music, like what is your technique of writing music? Do you have to sit down and try, or is this stuff, it just starts popping in your head? And the reason it's in your phone is because you're just writing it down because it popped in your phone while you're at McDonald's, you know, type of a thing. So first of all, inspiration of what style of music that you're putting out there right now?
Yeah. So if you look at my discography on Spotify, it starts kind of like John Mayer, then it gets a little lo-fi pop, and then it gets a little neo-soul, so like Bruno Major kind of style. And that's all stuff I really vibe with, and it's who I am. But I also have a classic country wedding cover band. We've been playing at weddings for like 6 years. We play like old honky tonk from like the 40s to the 90s. And that's a part of who I am too. I've lived in Texas since I was 8. And so I've learned to love country music a lot. I love
that's awesome.
George Strait, Hank Williams, Marty Robbins, like all the old guys. And I felt like there was a piece missing in my music. And so I thought, why not have a fiddle and a jazz flute on the same song? Who can tell me it won't work? And so I 2 years ago, I started writing songs in that realm. And I thought, okay, I have to call this something. What can I call it? It's definitely soul music, but it's not, you know, it's not Marvin Gaye. It's not,
right.
It's not strict soul. It's not retro soul. Oh, maybe Texas soul. That's, that sounds cool. And luckily, no one has really used it before as a right. as a subgenre. There are a collection of artists from the South in Texas and Louisiana back in the 70s who released soul music, and that's a part of Texas soul. But what I'm trying to create is a subgenre of soul music, which has like twang, but also that retro.
I was just gonna ask with the older, you know, country that you're talking about. Does some of it have a little twang to it, just for the fun of it?
Yeah. Just for the hell of it. Like, why not?
Yeah. I love it. So where has that brought you as far as when you talked about, this is how I paid my way, you know, through college by doing the cover bands and the things with, you know, the band with your sister and all this kind of stuff. At what stage, you know, you were allowed, allowed to quit your job because you worked out the deals with your wife and all the rest of it. So, I mean, there is at some point, there's a permission that's granted when you make those types of life decisions. At that point, you had to realize, I've got to make money somehow. Mm-hmm. So as it sits right now, what's paying your percentage of give to the family, if you will? How are you making those ends meet now? Because is it coming from some of your original stuff, or is it still kind of the country, you know, wedding band kind of thing? Because you got to pay bills and you still enjoy it. So what's that story for you?
Yeah, this question is very applicable around tax season, because you do not want to look at
Before you say anything, don't say anything that can incriminate you.
I know.
You know, cash I've got that I don't want to report.
Right. So let me do a little timeline. I quit my job, and I had a really solid job lined up at some restaurants around town. And first month, it was looking great. And then one of the restaurant owners wanted me fired because they said I didn't have a good voice. And so that's my Michael Jackson, or no, Michael Jordan, Thomas Edison moment of my life, where the first job that I had when I wanted to pursue music told me that I was no good. And I got fired. Like I there was a point in time where we didn't know what was going to happen, how I was going to bring in income. But you know, the Lord provided, and for the next year or so, I was just doing music. So as much music as I could do, weddings, restaurants, private parties.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. And so there was no music to be had. And so I had to go back into marketing and freelance. And then I picked up a full-time job, which I still have a full-time job, but now I'm just juggling right now.
Yep. Yeah.
I have a full-time job that's flexible. What's great about the pandemic is we're coming out of it knowing that we can be more flexible as far as work hours go. And
yep.
That's been a huge blessing. So I have a job where I can pursue music and provide for my family at the same time.
That's awesome. That's truly awesome. And I think you're right. I think so many of us had a reality check, you know, at that point of, you know, how can we create a better work-life balance, you know, and some have succeeded at that and some have definitely not succeeded at that. And, you know, really like sitting on the couch and binging Netflix and eating frozen pizza, and they still haven't gotten out of that routine. I wish I was still in that routine. It was so fun. So when you're producing music right now, your original stuff, what is your process? Like, you've got, let's say you start from, you grab your phone and you start putting some lyrics or a little bit of, you know, vocals into it so you can have some idea what the music beat's going to be and the chorus and all that. And you throw it in your phone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the process all the way to the end of you getting it to a consumer that's going to digest it and what platforms you find have worked for you and what you've done to try to elevate yourself in that way.
Yeah. My wife says that I'm the worst multitasker. And so it's weird because she's right. But
it's weird because she's right. And she's right about most everything. And that's what's weird.
Yeah. I have to be in a headspace to welcome ideas. It's weird. The ideas, like you asked earlier, do they just come or do I have to sit down? They just come to me. Usually it's like in one of three places: in the shower, in the car, or out and about at a bar. I hear like a bass line. I can't hear the song, but I can hear the bass line over the yeah. crowd. And I literally run to the bathroom and scream into my phone what I hear. Sometimes I turn on, I don't know if you're on Spotify, but they have a yeah. Discover Weekly. And if I'm in the mood to create, I turn on Discover Weekly because it's a bunch of songs that I'm not familiar with. And sometimes there's a cool bass line or a cool drum fill to start the song. And then, not saying that the song is bad, but I, in my head, I already know what the song should sound like.
You know how your twist would be to make it what you consider better in the way that you like your music.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a fun exercise that I do also. I don't like steal any lines or anything like that, but
no,
definitely get inspiration that way.
Yep.
And then it's kind of just like Lincoln Log after that. I usually start with something catchy, some kind of hook. I need to have a hook. And then it's always music first. Lyrics are the toughest process for me, but all of my best songs, the lyrics just flow. They just
Do you ever co-write, or is it always your own?
You know, I've co-written one song of mine, the Christmas song. It's a Christmas song called December 26th. And it's co-writing is something that I wanna exercise that muscle, but everything I've released and I'm about to release is all self-written.
That's awesome. And it is, you kind of make it, I like the way you put it, in the sense that, you know, you want to kind of expand and kind of go into that co-writing, because collaborating on a song or music, that's a skill in and of itself, to allow yeah. somebody else's opinions in, somebody else's music, somebody else's lyrics, and build upon it or tweak it or twist it. That is a skill that a lot of people just don't realize how difficult that is in and of itself.
Yeah, it's very tough, because we all have ideas and we all think they're great, right?
So, right. Yeah.
So until
your wife tells you it's not, right?
It's a lot of humility to the other artists and a lot of willingness to appreciate their creativity and their ideas.
So what instruments do you play that you actually jump in and utilize to help you kind of build your music?
Yeah, a lot of piano.
Did you take piano lessons as a kid, or did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I took piano lessons as a kid. Played a lot in church, and then most of my songs I write in my head, and if I started on the piano for some reason, it doesn't come out as good of a song. Not always, but most of the time, I hear different elements of the song that I want to create, and sometimes there isn't even piano in it. But to lay out the song, I do work it on piano. Sometimes I go to acoustic guitar. But I'm about to release my debut record in June, and for those songs, I pretty much wrote them all in my head, and then I put them into Logic as demos, sent them out to my band. We did pre-production for 6 months before we actually recorded it. We all went in the studio and recorded them in 2 days. And then,
well, it's expensive. People don't realize how expensive that is. So I think when you were doing it that way, was it, guys, we've got to have this down perfect so that we can get in and out in 2 days, because we can't like, hey, let's try this. You know, when you're in the studio, that's expensive.
No. It's expensive. And I've done that before, and I really don't like it. I can really overcook songs, overproduce them. And if you have too much time in the studio, at least for me personally, it's not a good thing. I mean, if you know it sounds good live, just get in there. It's going to sound great. In this,
You can get down a rabbit hole that you can never get out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Expensive rabbit hole. All right. So you've got a song, you go into the studio, you put it out there, it's all mastered, and you've got this song. Okay, great. Oh, I love my song. All right. Now what do you do?
Right. So
just keep playing it in your AirPods and say, wow, this is a great song. I love my song. Everybody should listen to this song. Why isn't this song on the radio when you haven't done anything with it anyways for it to get on the radio? Like, what do you do? Throw it up on Spotify and hope for the best. I mean, Mr. Marketing Guru, let's go.
Yeah. I tried a lot of different things at first. A lot of things that didn't work, and a lot of things that did. And I would say for any person just trying to start out, what I did was, yes, I just released the song and I did Facebook ads, I did Instagram ads. But I straight up went to Spotify and searched every genre, every mood, every playlist that I could think of. This is where marketing research comes into play. It's called SEO. And so you do SEO on Spotify. And the first song I had was like a John Mayer indie pop song. So those are the kind of keywords I would input. And then I would straight up find a playlist that I want to be on, find the creator, stalk them on Facebook or Instagram, and then try to slide into their DMs with a link of my song, hoping that they'll add it. And I did that for probably a year and a half before I saw any traction. And then it's kind of what's hard about the music industry, especially on an independent side, is that everything is just a little snowball to your big snowball. And you have to keep throwing and adding to it if you want to see it get any traction. But I would never stop PR because I know it adds to the snowball. And I would never stop making music videos or stop doing Facebook ads, because every little bit helps. And the success that I found, I'm happy with where I'm at, because I'm here for a reason. I've reached the type of success I've had at this point for a reason. And for anyone, it's easy to want to rush it. It's easy to want to feel like I should be here, but everything's going to happen in the time that it should. And we're going to be ready for it when it comes.
That's awesome. And so you're talking about a June release, and is that pretty much, do you feel that that's locked in, that it's going to be a June? Is it all done?
Yeah. Yeah. Finally.
Yep.
it's wild working on something for a year and a half and then being done with it.
Letting yourself be done with it. You know, actually letting yourself be done, that you're not like going to go back and say, is this done? I heard something. I don't know. But to let yourself be done with it after that much time is a struggle of its own, I'm sure. But what are you planning on doing once it releases? Are you going to try to create some mini tours that are out there and go, you know, do, you know, album releases and that kind of thing? And are you going to stick in Texas for all that? Or are you trying to kind of get out and about with it where you think your music, you know, also has some legs to it?
Yeah. So my wife and I are expecting our first baby in 4 weeks.
Oh, congratulations. So, oh my God.
So everything past that is, I can try to plan. Do you have kids?
I have stepsons, but I don't, I've never gone through what you're going through. You have no idea what's coming.
Everything has a big like cloud of TBD, because I can try to plan, but I also don't know what it's like to have, you know, a 2-month-old. So, once the album drops, there's going to be a release party. I'm going to try to do a mini tour. Yeah.
Going to keep it within Texas, where you've got your connections and your gig locations and that kind of thing.
I think so at first. I mean, obviously the goal is to expand out of Texas, but for me personally, it's important to me to kind of just own Texas. I mean, if I'm going to call myself Mr. Texas Soul, then might as well, you know, have a good following in Texas. So that's really important to me. That's probably my first objective coming off the record is to hit up some Texas towns pretty heavily.
So it's pretty common for nowadays, depending on your genre of music, to say, if I'm going to do this, I've got to be in LA, New York, or Nashville. Has any of that type of thinking popped in your head?
Yes, and it's popped in my head in the fact that I'm glad that we don't live in an age where that's necessarily true. My song Moments just hit 5 million streams, and it's all because of the love I get from Southeast Asia. And I didn't have to move to Thailand or the Philippines to get that.
Great point.
Get that following. So
what the hell did you do to get it? Like, how did that, do you TikTok, have anything that you think you did that got it?
No, I made a good song and there's a good video to support it. I released the song with a label out of Brooklyn called Sunday Sauce, and they did a lot of work on their end to promote it on TikTok.
Okay.
But honestly, just TikTok and Spotify playlists, they love that song.
Is it fair to say that, like, TikTok keeps on getting brought up, and you know, people look at, like, oh, TikTok, that's such a waste of time. And I'm like, not for musicians, you know. Yeah, for all the other clutter that's out there, just like any other social media platform. But TikTok has really made a difference for up-and-coming artists to have a platform that is kind of, like, taking it by storm. The music industry is having to adjust based on TikTok. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Of all the marketing strategies I tried over the last 3 years, TikTok single-handedly was the most effective and most, like, exponential strategy. Because if a song pops off, let's say you get 100,000 likes on a song or on a video, that's 100,000 people probably closing TikTok, going to Spotify, and then listening to your song. And that's as organic as it gets.
Yep.
And the algorithm on Spotify sees that as just purely organic. They weren't referred by Spotify Radio. They weren't referred by a playlist. The user just went to my profile because they want to look up that song. And I've seen that it only takes one or two videos to see your Spotify graph go up and up and up like crazy. One video this time last year shot my streams up like times five, just one video.
Yep.
So TikTok's insane. I wasn't a believer, but now I'm a believer for sure.
Absolutely. And when you're doing your videos, are you doing it with your, you know, smartphone, your iPhone or your Android, or are you taking it next level with some people that you might know that are videographers?
Yeah. So I just joined TikTok. I put my first video up like a month ago, but, my manager and I, we always talk about how simple TikTok is, because it's weird. These days, people are getting rewarded for doing less. Like if someone sees a long caption on TikTok or a very pretty edited video, I think there's this kind of turnoff. Maybe it's the Instagram.
The authenticity of feeling like you're connecting with an artist that's doing it grassroots is more engaging to today's community, especially the TikTok community, than something that looks overly produced.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is super encouraging to independent artists.
It really is. I mean, I think you probably have professional, very high-end professional videographers that are trying to figure out, how can I take my skill sets and make them look more overly produced, but still be at a high quality for an underproduced looking authentic video, but to keep themselves in the game. I mean, because the reality is, when people are getting these smartphones that are so high level on the the video and the picture quality. That's every update for every phone. It seems like the only thing that they did anything with was the phone and the video portion and mm-hmm. what your capabilities are. It is getting to the point where everybody can do everything themselves. You know, it is yeah. a self-producing world that we're living in, which isn't a bad thing, but it's a thing. And so are you finding yourself having to be more consistent on what you're putting out there? Are you feeling
as far as videos go?
Yeah. Are you feeling a pressure from it?
No. And that's the beautiful thing about TikTok is it's just quantity, really. The quality, the definition of quality is kind of changing. It's not really on the production side, like you're talking about. Quality is authenticity. I think you said that earlier. How much am I not BSing you? How much story and how much mica am I actually giving you in a post? And as many times as I do that, TikTok's really funny because it just takes one. And so you can have dozens and dozens of videos that don't have that many views, but it just takes one to go viral. And then
they go watch. Yeah. They go watch all your other videos. Yeah. And they go, they go down and they spiral into the next 2.5 hours of their life, watching every video you ever made. And then you actually are engaging more with that. Let's call it a consumer, that listener, that viewer, than you ever would if you were just playing on a stage at a concert, because they're thinking they're getting to know who you are because you're doing it from the shopping mall. You're doing it from your car. You're doing it while you're walking your dog. And they think, oh my gosh, I totally know Mike. I love that dog. Oh, I wish I had that dog. And oh my gosh, that shirt. Oh, I'm going to go get me one of those shirts. Like it starts to be so much a part of them that they feel like they know you, versus just you putting a song out there, going and touring and saying, come and see me live, and then going back in the studio. And I think that's where the beauty of it is.
I had to really, I'm still trying to do this, but really trying to run away from, I call it the LinkedIn bio artist, where the captions are just, you know, check me out, check me out, check me out, which, I mean, it works for some people, but me personally, I don't like seeing that on my feed. And I don't think it connects with people as much these days. And so, to just promote myself and promote my music, it's hard to do as an artist, because some people crush it, but for me, it's kind of hard to come up with relevant content that's just engaging and natural, because I think we don't give ourselves enough credit as artists. Maybe like, who wants to just see me play at a piano? Maybe 10 people, but I think it's not interesting, but I'm having more conversations with myself.
You need to start doing like TikTok lives and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're a personable guy. People are going to like, this conversation was about, we've never met, we've never talked, we've never nothing. And this is about as easygoing as it can be. Put yourself out there, because people are going to really realize how legitimately real and authentic you are, and that you're truly a nice guy in the music industry that's doing what they love and giving it a shot and doing that the job to pay the bills, that's luckily, you know, flexible enough for you to do that. And you've got a kid on the way, which is like, you're just, you know, Micah USA, you know, just like everybody else is out there trying to figure it out. And you're adding your passion to the mix, which I truly appreciate.
I appreciate that.
Micah, it's been great to get to know you and kind of hear what you've got cooking. Looking forward to June, looking forward to the release. And I am a follower now. I'm literally, after this, after we disconnect, I'm jumping on my phone. I'm going to jump on your social platforms. I'm going to like, I'm going to share, I'm going to watch. And I'm personally asking you to do some live TikToks, because I want to see, I want to just banter back and forth a little bit while you do it and have some fun with it. So Micah Edwards, Mr. Texas Soul, And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing if we can figure out a way to get you out here to Interstate Music and maybe do an album release show for you here at Interstate Music.
I'd love that. Something in the summer, that'd be great. Thanks for
it'd be amazing. Yeah, you don't want to come to Wisconsin if it's not summer. You just don't.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely not. And you got to get that kid at least semi on the way to obviously fifth grade, because I can't imagine your kid's gonna go to first grade, second grade, third grade, or fourth grade. Skip those. Oh, just go right to fifth, right?
Yeah, just maybe middle school, just right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah. The kid'll be master's degree by 11. You know, you gotta make sure that you know they're having a better start than you did.
Oh yeah. That's the dream.
Mike, it's been awesome to get to know you. Thank you for being part of the podcast. This has been the Interstate of Music Podcast, and Peterson is out.